This is Queer Readings of Tolstoy in the Pegasus Galaxy, a Stargate Atlantis fanfic written by Squares Are Not Circles and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is at a PG-13 and contains the pairing Rodney McKay, John Shepherd, with additional tags for humor, fluff, first kiss, misunderstandings, spoilers for a single joke in MASH Season 1 Episode 14, Love Story. Rodney: I have connected the Russian dots. John: What dots? Author's notes: File this under silly, self-indulgent plot bunnies that clung to my leg until I finally caved and picked them up and hand-fed them carrots. Rodney's mouth is wide and wet and hot. His hands are broad and agile and surprisingly strong, and it's a scorching, shivery shock when one of them moves from John's shoulders south, walking down his ribcage and reminding him he's ticklish, and he snatches up Rodney's wrist and puts his other hand flat on Rodney's sternum and wrenches his mouth free. Rodney's eyes are unfocused and a little confused, like he was in the middle of a very great kiss and John suddenly stopped him. John feels a wild tingle right at the tip of his lips. He leans back into the steady wall behind him, the one right inside the entrance to his room, which Rodney pressed him up against after appearing at his door late in the evening, saying hello and grabbing him for manhandling convenience. John's not usually that easily overpowered, but it's kind of hard to argue when a brilliant scientist acts so weird you think for a brief second you're all about to die. They still might, for all John knows. Rodney is looking at John's lips. He seems baffled, like he can't imagine why he can see instead of feel them the way he could a second ago. What? He asks, and he doesn't sound like a man who knows the city is about to explode. Strike that theory. Why, John manages, and he feels pretty good about that. He thinks about trying for more, but he wouldn't even know where to begin. So in the end, he squeezes Rodney's wrist a little harder and moves his free hand wildly between them. He hits both their chests without even really moving his arm. He's still breathless. He says, "Why did you..." Rodney blinks. "Tolstoy," he says, like it's 42, the answer to life, the universe, and everything. John waits for more, but it doesn't come. He tries to figure out how to respond to that, but there doesn't seem to be a sensible way to do so. "What the fuck?" he tries, but it feels weak, all the energy punched out of him now that it's really starting to sink in that, yeah, Rodney really did just kiss him and is now changing the topic of conversation to Russian literary giants. Rodney seems confused, too. "Don't tell me you haven't seen MASH."
Yeah?
MASH?
His brain feels like mashed potatoes.
"It's good."
"Right. So, Tolstoy."
Rodney gives him a second.
"War and Peace?"
Another second.
"God, John,"
Rodney says, like he's about to shake his head in what he seems to think is well-earned exasperation. Like it's John's fault the relevance of Earth writings to their very recent and equally unexpected making out in Pegasus continues to elude him. It's Rodney's brain for sure that's the mashed potatoes. John doesn't see any way this can possibly be his fault.
"You know you're not making any sense, right?"
Rodney tuts at him, just like that, while still gravely invading his personal space against a wall.
"There's this scene, in one of the early seasons."
"Of MASH?" "Yes, of course, MASH. What else?
Radar wants to impress a woman, so Hawkeye hands him some world literature, and Radar says, "War and peace?" John, not remembering the scene in question, but having watched enough reruns of the show to get a solid idea of its sense of humor, has a sudden, awful, dawning feeling about where this is going. "And yeah," Rodney says. So Hawkeye replies that Tolstoy was very flexible. He went either way. And then he pulls a face at Trapper. John glances at the book in question, a bright red brick to the left of Rodney's ear in the distance on his nightstand. And then back at Rodney. He hasn't touched that book in weeks. Somehow, he is still touching Rodney.
"You think I brought War and Peace with me through the gate as a secret signal that I like guys?"
"Yes? What else would you need a book like that for? Reading?" The way Rodney says it, John can't deny that would be ridiculous. Rodney pets John's jaw, and John forgets about denying anything at all. "It's a little obscure as far as signals go, but I figured it out," Rodney says, admonishment, reassurance, and gloat in one. "You should be glad I'm a genius."
"Uh-huh," John says, to his own distracted surprise. Rodney looks eager. Good. The way he almost always does.
"Yep," John hears himself add. "Yeah, I sure am. Well done."
Rodney is looking over John's shoulder at the wall, once again getting lost in his own brilliance.
"Do you think Taylor and Ronan have ever heard of MASH? Maybe we should do a team TV night. I think Dr. Green from the zoology department brought the DVDs over from Earth, or she may have just had them on loan."
Rodney stops talking. In the same abrupt moment, his eyes snap back to John.
"What? Oh."
John, still with Rodney's pinky between his lips, does not say anything. He scrapes his bottom teeth over the pad of the finger.
"Oh,"
Rodney repeats, with greater urgency and wider eyes.
You know, on second thought, thinking about it, I don't think we're done with Tolstoy yet."
"You think too much," John says, because right this second, right this very minute, the very last thing he wants is for Rodney to try leading him in a discussion of Dostoevsky next. John's already decided that can wait.
"The city isn't sinking. War and Peace isn't going anywhere."
How the hell Rodney decided John's apparent flexibility had to mean he would want to kiss him and not any other guy is a mystery for later.
Right now.
Rodney's mouth is wide and wet and hot. His hands are broad and agile and surprisingly strong. And it's a scorching, shivery shock when one of them moves from John's jaw past his neck and his shoulders south, walking down his ribcage and reminding him he's ticklish and slipping under the hem of his shirt. And God, John's never been this happy about a book he bought for $1 from a thrift shop. The end. Author's notes. There is an alternate universe out there somewhere in which I caved to my worst impulses, and this is titled, "I Like Big Books and I Cannot Lie." Thank you for viewing this fic in a better world than that one. May all your reading lead to only good things, like it does for John, around three corners. And consider leaving a comment if you feel like it. Heart. If you want to come find me on Tumblr, I'm It Would Be Prefect over there.
Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded in the new old office space I have been relocated to because my old new office is under construction. And so my boss and his
infinite wisdom, has decided to move me and my team of people back to the space that we left 6 years ago because it was not enough space for us. And now there are, in fact, more people, and the office is smaller, and it is worse, and I am not happy about it. And you may hear some buzzing, humming situation because there is two cross-purposes fans running in this space because there is no HVAC, which is fun. I hate this. I hate everything about this. I was not consulted about this decision. My desk was packed without my input. It took 49 minutes to get my monitors to turn on this morning. I don't know where my phone is, and it is all for shit. So, because right now I'm the only person in this office, I am sublimating my feelings into Podvic. Thank you so much to Squares Are Not Circles for having blanket permission to Podvic. I hope you enjoyed this, because Rodney being, I connected the dots, and John saying, what dots? And Rodney saying, these dots, I've connected them, is absolutely delightful for me. And that was one of the two small bright points of my day. The other point being the other Podvic I have also recorded. Check that out later. Yeah, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day. I didn't.